Let's start today in Ephesians chapter 3. I have something very definitely that God put in my heart to talk about. It's not the easiest subject for me to talk about, simply because I feel like I am still learning so much in this area. I'm almost embarrassed to talk about it, even one-on-one with people. But it's something that is so vitally important in our life, so vitally important to helping our man and woman of God, so vitally important to the move of God writ large, that it can't be ignored. And I'll tell you what we're going to talk about today. If you implement it in your life the way the Scripture says to implement it, it will be an offense vaccine. Because I had mentioned it a while back. I don't remember who I was talking to about it. I had mentioned it a while back about, you know, we were talking about some of the things that are coming. Our pastors are in a new phase, going into a new phase, you know. And we were talking about how to batten down the hatches, you know. And, you know, one of the things that we talk especially with Praise and Worship about, it might have been with them, I don't remember, is offense, is staying out of offense, you know. And I made the comment, because this is just true in my life. You know, everybody's got their thing. Right? But offense has not necessarily been something that has tripped me up a lot. From time to time, you know, and you deal with it according to the word, but it's not been my major thing. And so when it started coming against me in a major way, I was like, because see, I ask questions. You know, lame jokes and questions, that's my thing. So, you know, I went to God and I was asking him about it, and he said, this is what's going on, and this is how to stand against it, and so on and so forth. But the thing that arrested me more than that was I was like, God, this is not my thing. This is not really the main hang up for me. I've got one. Don't worry about it. I'm human just like you. I just don't want to air my dirty laundry in public, and you don't want me to either. Mostly because you don't want to air yours in public. So, you know, you don't want to reap what you're going to sow. You know, but one thing that God talked to me about was he talked about, there are principles of honor that I put in my life without even really consciously realizing it, just because I made an effort to do the word. I worked for an employer. This employer, oh my gosh, I could tell you some stories. Anyway, this employer, one day we came into the office there, and he, after a little bit, he just tears through the back side of the office, and he's upset. And when I found out what was going on, understandably so. But you know, you gotta be careful when you're upset, because things might come out of your mouth that you don't intend. And those things that come out of your mouth might really have some unintended consequences. And that can be rough. And this, what happened, made it really rough for my employer for a number of years, actually. So it's just an example in watch what comes out of your mouth. Especially if you're a business owner, because you're the head. Because you're the head, and all things flow from the head. So you need to watch what comes out, because people believe that, because you're the business owner. You're the head. You know, people pay attention to those things. Egads, it's like the Bible's true. Anyway, he comes in, and he said, employees at a certain level are just as disposable as zip ties. We'll just cut them off and throw them away. And I thought, whoa, that's intense. You know, and my first reaction in my flesh was to be angry about it. Just a little background about me. My dad was a union man for 40 years. And so statements like that don't sit well. You know, I never had anything to do with the union, but he did. And, you know, just living with your parents, things happen. I woke up one day and I said, oh my goodness, I'm my father. How did this happen? I don't receive it, Lord. I don't receive it. Every once in a while, my wife will go, Larry, and I'm like, no, it's not true, it's not true. Anyway, I sense some spouse ministry going on in this section. Oh, wait a minute, that wasn't by the Spirit, I heard it. Anyway, and so that didn't sit well, and so my first reaction was anger. But then something rose up on the inside of me, and I made a decision that day. I'm going to treat my boss like I treat my pastor. Amen. And if my pastor said something like that, I would give him every benefit of every doubt. Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't lie to myself, but I would get close to believe the best. Yes. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. Because I'm going to hold that man in such an office of respect. Right. Yes. Not because the man's so great, because the office is so great. Yeah. See, and I said, I'm going to treat my boss that way. And the next 7 years of my employment were some of the most blessed years I've ever experienced in my life. But what happened there was I was vaccinated against offense in that moment. And for the next 7 years, I'll tell you, offense was not really an issue between me and my employer. Now, there were times that I did not agree with what he said or what he said we were going to do. But did you know that submission does not require agreement? Submission requires obedience. And you can willingly obey and not be in agreement. Now I'll tell you something else to that. You're going to have to get an agreement, otherwise you can't walk together.
Right. Yeah, come on.
So if your initial reaction is, all right, I'm not on board, but I'm going to do it, you better change that reaction before very long, or you're not going to be able to walk together. I said you, not them, you. See, this is what we have to do. This is real life, right? This isn't just helps ministry. This is on the job. Because if you want to keep your job, you're going to have to submit. And if you just find that you disagree a lot and you're having to submit a lot, you better change it and get in agreement, or you're still not going to keep your job. Because it's Amos 3:3, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? So anyway, that's all free. I said that you can get away with that for a little bit, but you are going to have to change some things. But the point that I was making is that in that moment, I became inoculated. Why? Because of a principle of honor. I became inoculated. Offense could not touch me. Now, it could come, but just like, I love what Pastor Nancy said one time. She said, the carpet is here, but I don't have to acknowledge it. I just have to walk on it. You see what I'm saying? So offense can come. It's just like the carpet. I don't have to acknowledge it. I just have to walk on it because it's under my feet. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. And I'm going to tell you, if there's any day and age, if there's any time on the earth when we need to be vaccinated against offense, it is now. As a youth minister, I try to watch the trends out there and not participate in them, just watch them. I'm going to tell you, there's some young people that I just wish would get hit by a truck. I don't mean to be mean about it, but I'm just telling you, they need to be silenced. Because they are causing something in this younger generation that is going to yield a nasty, nasty harvest in just a few short years. And I'm telling you, I'm not very far down the road, and what I see terrifies me. Because I ain't going to have my children grow up in that. I know I'm a minister of the gospel and we're not supposed to be brawlers and strikers, but I will take up. I'm not talking about no full semi-auto. I will take up a weapon and I will fight for my children so that what this younger generation is trying to bring to pass ain't going to happen. I will defend the rights that I have been given, not only in the natural, but in the spirit. I'm telling you, we need to be vaccinated.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Because if you're not, it'll get in you. You know, the thing about it is the news cycle right now is just 24/7. Drip, 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 drip. I'm going to tell you what, you don't have to stand around to drip very long before you get wet.
Come on. Come on.
You ever put a, just try this because you'll find out what I'm talking about. Just put your sink on like the tiniest little drip. Just the tiniest. And then put the plug in the bottom of your sink. Come back an hour later and see how much water's in there.
Yeah.
It'll be more than you think. Yeah. It's just a drip. It's just a drip. Yeah, your sink will be half full. And your water bill will double. From a drip. From a drip. Now, in 1950, when radio had just really gone mainstream, everybody had a radio in their house. Yeah. That was the tiniest drip on your faucet.
Right.
Now you have instant on the internet.
Yeah. All right, come on.
Every corner of the world.
Yeah.
In fact, there are companies now investing billions of dollars to make the internet free by satellite. And now it's a nefarious purpose, I'll tell you, but it's happening.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about, you know, end times. I'm just talking about this is bad business practices, why they want to do it.
Yeah.
But here's the point. They're making it happen.
Yeah.
With that level of communication, it's a great benefit for the gospel, but it's also a great hindrance to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Because unless you know how to sanctify yourself and pull away from all that mess, it's a drip. It's not just a drip, it's a stream. And you just see how full the sink gets in a short amount of time. It'll happen. So if there's any day and age when we really need to be inoculated, not just against offense, but against so much, oh my goodness, it's this one. You know, I was talking with a dear brother that I really appreciate, who has a great knowledge of all the revivals of the past. And praise God, every revival that's come through has brought new revelation into the body of Christ. What a joy. That things have just, you know, the devil tried to take it all away through religion, and God's just been bringing it all back. God didn't quit. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad all those people didn't quit. You know, and we don't sometimes understand the price that was paid. I'll give you an example, something that you might find interesting. You know, we all know about Azusa Street in 1906. We all know how, maybe not all of us know, but there was how a man named Charles Fox Parham, who was actually from Iowa, by the way, in case you wanted to know, has anybody wholly ever come from Iowa? Oh my goodness, you have no idea. There are some amazing people of God that have come out of this state. Now, they all went to the South where they were honored, but that's a whole nother story. Anyway, this man, Charles Fox Parham, he started a school in Kansas. And the whole reason he started this Bible school was for the sole purpose of seeking God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's the only purpose he started it. And there was a man in that came in that class that to that school, and his name was William Seymour. And because of some unrighteous conventions of the day, I'm going to tell you, you want to talk about being hungry. When everything is stacked against you and you still press on for God. We have no idea the hunger that has come in previous generations. Anyway, we know about, you know, and his name was William Seymour. He had to sit across the hallway around the door jamb, and he would listen and he would pray with them. And he got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And he went to Azusa Street in Los Angeles, and then the rest is history. Here's something that you might not know, but in the 1780s, around the same time as our nation was being founded, there was a move of God in France, and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 1780. They were persecuted so badly in France, only 300 of them made it out. They went to England, where the rest of them were taken care of. We could have had the move of the Spirit a whole 100 and some odd years earlier. The price that was paid is huge. We don't even know it.
Yeah.
And that's you barely have a record of it. I mean, you really have to do some historical searching to figure it out and find it. And how many times has God attempted to bring these things to pass up to this point? Anyway, I'm so thankful. I was talking to this dear brother. I just thought you might, it's all free. I thought you might enjoy it. Things that I like. Anyway. I was talking with this dear brother, and he was talking just about some of the things. You know, God raised up this revelation, but then the devil raised up this heresy with it. And I instantly thought about Dr. Dufresne when he said, this last move of God is going to contain every revival that has ever been. The flip side of that coin is the devil's going to bring back every heresy that's ever been. every persecution that's ever been. The devil's going to bring. He's not going to let God just have his way. Because he hates people. He hates God that much. So if there's ever a day that we need to be inoculated, this is the time. And we need to be sober about the time we're in. We got, you know, this is not an era like any other. This is not. This is different. And if we don't have a full understanding of that, we're going to get punched in the nose. You know? So Ephesians chapter 3. Took me a long time to get here. Verse 19. We all know these Ephesians prayers. Praise God, we pray them for ourselves. Some of the greatest revelation of how to pray in the scripture. It says in verse 19, "And we know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God." The Amplified says that you may really come to know, practically, through experience for yourself, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being. Filled through all your being. Unto all the fullness of God. May you have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body, wholly filled and flooded with God himself. That you would become a personage, wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. If you're going to be wholly filled, completely, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, not H-O-L-Y, wholly, completely, fully filled with God himself, you should know a few things about him. Because otherwise, when he comes to fill you, you might be surprised. You might be surprised. And then instead of working with him, you'll fight against him because mentally you're surprised. I didn't know that was coming. You know. Or the Holy Spirit leads you to make some kind of confession and you I ain't saying that. Well, you better, it's for your help. He's trying to help you. So let's go to 1 Chronicles. Chapter 16, verse 25. "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." Verse 27. "Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his palace." Now, first of all, you might be interested to know that that gladness is one of the words for exceeding great joy. So before you go knocking on the joy of the Lord and the move of the Holy Spirit in joy, you need to know that's in his palace.
Amen.
When you're in heaven, we're going to giggle till we're silly. Because the goodness of God will be everywhere. We will leap and shout for joy for generation upon generation. Through all eternity, great gladness. And there's strength. In his presence, in his palace, there is strength. That's why when you come before the throne of God, if you do it properly and in faith, you will be infused with strength. That's why finding that hiding place is so important. Because God already knows all your junk, and he wants to give you the tools that you need to fix your junk. And he wants to give you the strength so you don't grow tired in the midst of getting it all put together. So that you can be an example of godliness, which is profitable to all things, to all the people around you. You want to share Jesus effectively, just show that you're not touched by the trials, troubles, and tribulations of this world. I didn't say you didn't have them. I said you're not touched by them. You're not moved by them. Because the world is, they need hope. They are thirsty people in a desert of hopelessness. And if you got hope, oh my goodness. God will send you on rescue mission after rescue mission after rescue mission after rescue mission. You won't even have to go find them. They'll come find you. But also in his presence are glory and honor. In fact, in the Old Testament, the words glory and honor in many cases mean almost exactly the same thing. almost exactly the same thing. Just a couple more references because I don't want to leave you with just one. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory. Again, in his presence, honor and glory. 2 Peter 1:17, just happened to be a similar reference. The Bible's full of little statistical fun things like that. For he received from God the Father, this is Christ, honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from heaven, from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So that same honor and glory is on Christ. Yeah. Yes. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure all things were created. Yeah. Now, if you're in the Ramos meetings, the next one will be very familiar to you. Revelation 7:12, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Yes. Glory and honor are always found together in the presence of God. They're always together. Now today I want to come up a different side of this mountain. So bear with me just a few minutes to lay a foundation. If we're filled with the fullest measure of God, remember Ephesians 3:19, then one thing that we will also be full of is honor. If we call ourselves the people of God, then we must strive to imitate his character, and God's character is full of honor. The life of honor is the way of righteousness, holiness, and fullest participation with God. Now, just some fun facts for you. In Scripture, the English word honor is used 136 times. In fact, there are 5 separate Greek words that are translated honor. And there are 11 separate Hebrew words that are translated as honor. That's 16 separate words for honor. Love only has 5. God only has 1. I mean, let's just be real here.
That's good.
This is a big deal. Yeah. And those 16 words cover the gamut from gross, horrible, complete dishonor, you know, the most vile thing that you can think of, all the way over to the holiness and glory of God. Yeah. It's just this wide spectrum. It's just amazing to me that this is such an important subject that the people of God, God's people, the Hebrew people, had 11. We don't have 11 words for anything. 11 different words to describe honor.
Yes.
I mean, this is a big subject.
Yeah.
Important subject. You know, there are not a lot of things that get mentioned over 100 times in Scripture. There are a few, and all of them are major doctrines. All of them. Are major doctrines. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, okay, and is mentioned some 1,000 odd times. I'm not talking about conjunctions and adverbs and all those other, you know, grammatical things that Miss Katie knows and I don't really care about. Except my Oxford comma. I want to keep my Oxford comma. Anyway, sorry. Little office joke. The point is that that's an important, this is getting into major doctrine territory. And how many times do we hear about it being a major doctrine? Now, here we do. But in the wider body of Christ, you don't hear about it really. But it is. It is major doctrine. It's important. It's not a side issue. Now, because of the Asian influence in our popular culture, honor is a word that is frequently misunderstood when we talk about it in church. And that's one thing that I get so frustrated with the enemy over. Because what should be our help? What should be a joyous thing for us to receive, we choke on. And it's hard for us to swallow. It's hard for us to understand. All because the enemy perverted the meaning of a word. And then also because some people we're a bad example. You know, we can't base our experience on what people do. We got to base our experience on the Word of God. Our belief, rather. We can't base our belief on our experiences with other people. We have to base our belief on the Word of God, which will then generate an experience in line with the Word of God. So because of this perversion of honor, we resist the revelation. But it's not something to be resisted. It's something to be embraced. And, you know, we talk about honor, and we get this misconstrued idea that it's regulations that are centered around looking good before men, and that's totally not the case. You know, we see these extreme, and I mentioned the Asian influence specifically because it's something that you can see easily, you know, in popular culture and in movies and whatnot. Taken to an extreme, you get people that commit suicide because of shame, embarrassment, you know, or because their code was violated or to save face. You see people doing extreme things to their children or family members because of honor, which is, I'm going to tell you what that is. It's a perversion of a godly characteristic by the devil. It's traditions of men that are making the Word of God of no effect. That's what that is. And when you see it, you need to answer it. You need to say, that's not godly honor. Because it's not. It's not. Now, that's not to say that there is not a rigid side to honor or a severe side to honor. I mean, it says in Romans, behold the goodness of God and the severity of God. There's a rigid and serious part to honor. But this other extreme is a man extreme. It's people going off the deep end and doing dumb things. It's a tragic example of what Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 10, I found the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. Right. See, when people commit suicide because of some saving face thing or because of shame, see, that's a tragic example of that. Honor came to bring life, but instead the devil perverted it and it brought death. And like I said, there is a part of honor that is rigid. For instance, I'm going to give my word and not change. If I said I'm going to pay for something, even when it gets expensive and it gets inconvenient, I'm still paying for it because I said I would. If I said to my children, this is the punishment, no matter how much it hurts, I said it. I got to keep my word. There is a part of honor that is rigid. But it's not this other part that we get thinking about and tied up with. Now, in the scripture, there's two general ideas when it comes to honor. Now, like I said, there are 16 separate words for honor. It's mentioned 136 times. I am overgeneralizing. But I'm overgeneralizing for the sake of understanding. If you want to know more about it, go study it yourself, please. Please do. You'll find it's wonderful. But there's two general ideas. One of them, the first idea of honor means to make heavy, to make heavy or swell up. And this is the idea when we talk about we're going to give an award to someone, we're going to give weight to their opinion or respect because of their rank. That's the first general idea of honor in the scripture. It has to do with conferring honor on God or another person. That word conferring is important. The second idea of honor in Scripture has to do with the moral code or regulating behavior that causes us to confer honor or esteem God or another person. It has to do with how we prefer or defer to God or another person. The first idea of honor has to do with an office or position. The second idea of honor has to do with a code of ethics. Do you see what I'm saying? There's two different poles here. They work together. They work together. You know, for instance, you know, we all know the scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, that them that honor me, I will honor. Those that despise me, I'll lightly esteem. See, you see in this verse both of these things functioning because God says, I will confer honor upon those that defer and prefer me. So you see, God has a code of ethics, which is obvious. Duh, he's God. He has to. Otherwise, everything falls apart. But then we also see where God will confer respect or esteem upon a person that agrees with his code of ethics. Does that make sense? So when we talk about honor, here's what we're saying. Agree with God's code of ethics. Do you know why people don't? I don't have time to get into all of this. I got to be quick. I'm only going to have one service to talk about it with you probably. So this is what we got. And Pastor does a far better job of it than I do. But here's the thing. The reason people choke on honor, or the reason people have trouble agreeing with God's code of ethics, is because they either don't have the humility or they don't have the faith to walk in it. In other words, pride and condemnation hinder us from walking in the fullness of God's honor. Pride, because we're going to have it our way, and our way is better. Or condemnation, because we're such terrible people that we'll never get it. It takes humility to counter pride. It takes faith to counter condemnation.
That's good. Right.
That's the reason we struggle with honor. That's it. That's it. Right there. We could say it like this. Our code of honor causes us to bestow honor. I know that was real short, but that's something to think about. Our code of honor causes us to bestow honor. The way we behave demonstrates our esteem. For what? Finish the sentence however you like. The way we behave causes us to esteem our helps ministry. Because, by the way, helps ministry is serving God. Serving God is a privilege. God did not have to let you serve him. We are not honored by your presence. We're honored by your heart. Do you see what I'm saying? Anyway. I so desire to understand this subject. I want to bestow proper honor on things and people and on God. And the farther I go, the more I see honor is really more about me. It's intrinsic to me than it is about anything else. It's me. And if I'm not demonstrating honor, it's me. God is the standard that we measure this by, not other people's expectations. And another place where we have trouble is God's standard is high. In the Old Testament, just to give you an example of, now there is an element of this, traditions of men make the word of God of no effect, but just to give you an idea. In the Old Testament, when God said, make clean your houses to the people of Israel, because they're going to have a visitation. He said, make clean your houses. That is something that still Jews do today. I think it's a little maybe beyond the standard, but it'll communicate what I'm trying to say. They make, specifically for this holiday, a special brush that is designed for one purpose, to get the dirt out from beneath your wood plank floor. In between the planks, the bristles are so fine that it doesn't matter how tight your boards are fitted, it can get in there and clean the dirt out. God's standard is high. Now, I know there's an element of traditions of men made that of no effect, but wait a minute. They had to meet something and then go beyond it. Right? They had to come up to a standard and go beyond it in order to get into traditions of men. Right? High standard. See, it's not man's expectations that set the bar of honor. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not my expectation. Now, Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie are the head, and they have an expectation for us as health ministers and people and congregation members, but that they don't even set it. They're just going on the revelation of God's standard that they have. God said it. So if we have a problem with the standard and we're going after a person, we're taking it up with the wrong entity. We're barking up the wrong tree. At home, Given and Jude, Given wanted me to tell some stories about them in service. In a few more years, she won't be saying that. Anyway, at home, you know, if I give direction to the children, because they're children and they're people, they'll go to Melissa. And they'll say, what about da-da-da-da-da? And she'll go, you're barking up the wrong tree. Go, Daddy. What happened? I set the standard. For them, I'm saying. I set the standard. So she can't change it. You see what I'm saying? If she does, then we got a problem. We're not in unity. So when we go to Miss Teresa or myself or whoever's in leadership, even pastors, and we say we got a problem with the standard, we're taking up with the wrong person. And they're just going to go, take to Daddy. Go talk to Daddy. He's the one. He said it. So, you know, when we have a problem, let's take our problem to the right party. Right? And we need to understand we're all bent out of shape with people when really we're bent out of shape with. This is why I'm saying honor is in me. It's intrinsic to me. Christianity is two things. It's a relationship and it's personal. Before anything else, before we go anywhere else in the faith, we have to understand it is two things. It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Really, you could be specific. You could say it's a personal relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. So when we talk about this, it's personal. And it has to do with your relationship with it's personal. It's private. It has to do with our conduct. And that's the vein that I want to approach this morning. And I have very little time to do it because I just finished my introduction. This is the vein I think it's right for us to travel in today. Something that is interesting to me that we need to look at in Scripture because we're talking about how we are conducting ourselves is the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter both connected the love walk with honor. Yes. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. These two things are connected. Yeah. You'll honor what you love and you'll love what you honor.
All right. Yeah. All right. That's good.
You can make yourself honor something by deciding to love it.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. You did it with your spouse. Because it don't matter how you end up getting married, somewhere along that wagon, you decided you was going to love them. And if you're just living off infatuation, then you better decide. You better make a decision of your will that you're going to love them. Because it's only a matter of time, dear brother, dear sister. They're going to do something. It ain't lovely. Can I just say something to the newlyweds, if there's any that are less than like 2 years in here? The first time your spouse is sick, you will be tempted to not love them. Because it is disgusting. And you barely deal with it with your own self. But when you're holding somebody else's head over the toilet, oh my. Oh my. If you haven't decided that you're going to love them, man, that can be a deal breaker. That can be rough. You know? And I'm not trying to be gross. I'm just telling you a truth. I'm telling you a truth. So you can decide to honor something by deciding to love it. Here's something else. The reverse is also true. You can love something by deciding to honor it. Because when you decide to honor it, love will grow in your heart. When I'd said about my employer that I'm going to treat him like I treat my pastor, what I really said is I'm going to honor him like I would honor my pastor. I didn't know that those were the words I was using in my spirit, but that's what I was saying. And in the process of time, I came to love that man. I would do anything for that man. If he called me today and said, hey, I need some help, I would really work to find it in my schedule to go help him. Why? Because I decided to honor him, and in the process of time, love grew. And I used to think that honor and love were like heads and tails on a coin. I don't think so anymore. I think like love is the copper in the middle and honor is the cover on the outside. It's like love is the core and honor is the plating. You know, they're not separate things of the same entity. They are together. They are one. And in fact, you can even demonstrate it, because if you go too far into love, as people call it, and you get too far off on the love ditch, you have license, and people just do whatever little thing pops into their head. You know what I'm saying? If you get too far into the honor thing, then you get into what we talked about earlier. You get into crazy law and crazy rules and etiquette of men. You see what I'm saying? Because one or the other was absent. And you think that if you watch those Asian movies where they do this crazy thing because of honor, you're thinking, but you love them. Only they don't, because they went too far. The tradition of men made it of none effect. So that's why I say these two things are so intimately related, you cannot pull them apart. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. See, there's this connection. For the sake of time, let me just read the English standard. You should read the Amplified just because it's real good. But let me read the English standard. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Make honor a competition. Make it a competition. Who can show more respect to the other person? Make it a competition. Who can respect God's things more? That's a good competition. Because if we're preferring one another in love and we're in an honor competition, we're all edified and built up. We're all edified and built up. Now you got to be careful, because the devil will get in there and he'll try to push you to some crazy extreme. And that's why the word is important, because if we stay with the word, we won't go to some crazy extreme. And it doesn't matter what other people do, because honor is on the inside of you. Honor's on the inside of you. So it doesn't matter what other people do. Well, you don't know what they did. I don't care. Well, if you knew, you'd care. No, I wouldn't. Because I'm not going to pick up your flag of offense. I got enough business carrying pastor's flag. I don't need to pick yours up too. And by the way, if you come to me with that junk, I'm going to bop you on the head with pastor's flag. Because I'm on his team. I tell the youth all the time, I'm on pastor's side. I'm on the church leadership side. I'm on the youth helper's side. And I'm on your parents' side. And by this time, they're going, well, you ain't on my side. But the truth is, if I'm not on pastor's side, I'm not on the church leadership side, I'm not on the youth helper's side, and I'm not on the parents' side, I'm not on their side either. Because I've just become opposed to everything that will help them. So by being on pastor's side, by being on the church leadership side, I am with everything that will help you. Anyway, moving right along. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. We're familiar with this scripture. In a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from dishonor, which is the latter, then he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love. Yes. Connected, love and honor. Amen. Peace with all those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid, you want to know how to get into dishonor? He's going to tell us. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Okay. So foolishness, ignorance, disputing, strife. All of those are going to cause dishonor. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Quarreling. causes dishonor. But gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth that you know, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. See, we see again, love and honor connected. And then we see what's going to cause dishonor, quarreling, strife, disputing, which is the absence of love. It's the absence of love. Whenever my children start to fight, I know that we have just stepped out of love. And so we make them stop, and we make them say, I love you. And if they're really going to be persnickety about it, then they have to hug and kiss each other. Because there needs to be a demonstration of love. And I've had family members, that they're just like, wow, your kids just really play together real well. And I'm like, yep, that's the way it's always been. It's the way it's always going to be. And they kind of, well, it's not the way you always, you know, sometimes siblings aren't like that. And I said, no, my kids are. I answer, I don't let that happen. Why? Because I've cultivated that seed, and I'm going to weed that garden so that it produces something beautiful. And they think I'm crazy, and you know what? All their kids are got their own issues, and mine are going to grow up in the righteousness and admonition of the Lord. So anyway, sorry, I just got you in on, you just got in on my little confession. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 9 through 17, you really should read it in the Amplified and the Strong, or in the King James. I'm just going to jump to verse 17 for the sake of time. But there's so much good truth. You know, in verse 9, he says that you may show forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you. Because you're filled with all the fullness of God. So you should display the virtue and perfection of him that called you. Verse 12, conduct yourself properly and honorably and righteously. Conduct yourself properly, honorably, righteously. Verse 17, show respect for all men. Treat them honorably. Love the brethren. Show respect for all men. Treat them honorably. The King James says, honor all men. Love the brethren. Honor all men. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. And you really should read 9 through 17 because the whole passage has a lot of truth in it. Honor is pursuing righteousness, faith, love, respect, submitting to authorities, fleeing sin, abstaining from the flesh's desire, and calling on God out of a pure heart. That's what honor is. When you talk about honor in the scripture, that's honor. Yes. Yeah. So no crazy ideas there. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. It's pursuing righteousness. Yeah. Now there is a righteousness from God, but there's also this other side of righteousness, which is what this is referring to, which is right action. Yeah. Pursuing right action. Yeah. Faith, love, showing respect to authority. Submitting to one another in love and calling on God out of a pure heart. That's honor. This ain't no crazy concept. And the fact that God is honor because in his personage, in his presence is glory and honor, we should covet to know so much about this subject. And here's the other part. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, at the end of the chapter, you know, he's talking about all the ministry gifts and da-da-da-da-da. And then he goes, and now I will show you the most excellent way. And then he goes into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we go into the great chapter on love. Love and honor are connected. So love is, if love is the most excellent way, honor is the most excellent way. Do you see that they're connected? Now, just a couple thoughts. I want to leave you with this, too, because we looked at how honor is part of the presence of God, right? Well, don't forget what it said in the first epistle of John. You remember, right? Chapter 4, verse 7. God is love. Yeah. God is honor, but God is love. Inseparable. They come together in his person. Now, these qualities are also in you and me. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Read it yourself. That his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through these promises, which are yes and amen in Christ, we may participate in the divine nature. You have a right to participate in the divine nature. And that divine nature is honor. You cannot, you have to fight it to keep it from coming out of you. God is on the inside, roaring like a lion, trying to get out, and you've got to actively put it down to not walk in honor. John chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Oh, well, Jesus gave you his glory. His glory is full of honor. So you're full of honor. That they may be one as we are one. Oh, wait a minute. You're one with God. God's full of love and honor. You're full of love and honor.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling very full of love and honor. Well, then agree with God and say that you are.
Yes. Yeah.
Let it come out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I find in dealing with people that really, when you get down to it, if they're born again and they're believers, these things are on the inside of them pushing out. But like I said earlier, it's pride or condemnation, one or the other, that is hindering that manifestation of these qualities. And I have discovered if you can deal with the pride, if a person will let you help them deal with it, because I can't deal with it, only you can, it's in you, right? With God's help, who is also on the inside of you. See, I'm so glad he's in us. Because since he's in us, then he can help us deal with it. Otherwise, we'd be helpless. You see? But since God is in us, if you can help a person, let God help them with dealing with it, the pride or the condemnation, then the honor and the love will always rise to the surface. Sometimes it takes a minute to identify where we're at here. But if we can deal with those core issues, then the nature of God always rises. And that the reason I share that is because that is of a great help to us in everything we do. Because if you find you're not succeeding at work or on your job, look for where maybe there's pride or condemnation. And I find condemnation motivated by fear is by far the larger issue. Like, more common, I should say. It's by far the more common because there's fear of stepping out. There's, well, what if I fail? Fear of rejection. You know, well, I'm not good enough to do this. You see, that seems to be, in my limited experience, the more common problem. But if you can deal with that, then honor and love will rise to the surface, and those always cause promotion. Because the honor of God will say, no, I need to come in on my day off and finish this project because I am not going to let it fail. Because love never fails. So I'm not going to let it fail. And then that honor says, I'm going to come in on my own time and make sure this is done, not because I'm getting paid, but because it's the right thing to do. And employers see that and they go, oh my goodness, I'm not paying them enough. They come in on their own time. I need to find a way to give them a raise. Because honor demands compensation. Now you don't. You don't. But that quality of honor that pushes toward excellence, it demands compensation. Because it says, see the value, 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 value. Do you see? Does that make sense what I'm saying? And on the other side, when we recognize it in something else, it's true, right? I'll just give you a simple example. And you don't have to raise your hand because you know who you are and it's everybody in here. You have paid 99 cents for a song. On your phone or you've got a song, music. You've paid 99 cents for it, whether it's a CD single, doesn't matter what it is. Or for sermons, if you're a talking person, which we all are. You know, you have paid an amount of money for that. Why? It was valuable.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It did something for you.
Yeah.
You paid for it.
Yeah.
Why? Because there was value in it.
Yeah.
See? Honor, value, honor demands value, or honor demands compensation.
That's good. Amen.
Even if it's only 99 cents to download it from iTunes.
Yeah.
It demands it.
Yeah.
Requires it. So when that's found in you, value has to come to you. You see what, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes.
Does that make sense what I'm saying? I'm trying to get through a lot of things really quick. Sorry. So I want to take a very quick look, very quick, at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because in the qualities of love, we can also see the qualities of honor. And I will leave you with this. I'm going to read the NIV just because it's a little less wordy and we're running out of time. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. Love and honor connected yet again. Because love does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So if we have genuine love like it talked about in Romans 12, then we will outdo one another in being patient, being kind, showing honor to others, being selfless, forgiving wrongs, hating evil, rejoicing in truth, protecting the weak, hoping for a better tomorrow, and never quitting in doing all of these things listed. Did you know if you're in offense with people, you're not doing any of these things? So if you're if you submit to honor, if you become a person of honor, if you decide that you're going to honor, do you see how you are vaccinated against offense? Because the honor that is on the inside of you will not let you be offended with them. Because you value and esteem them. When we honor other people, we give them latitude when they do wrong. We boast about what they have done, not what we have done. We are proud of them and not of ourselves. We seek their good and not our own. We don't allow them to anger us. When we honor other people, we don't allow them to anger us. Not that they didn't do something that might be angering, but we don't allow it to get in us. We don't keep a record of the things they've done wrong. We protect them in every way we know how. We protect their stuff. We treat it better than our own. We protect their image or their reputation. We never let them be presented in a bad or negative light. We protect their words. We work to ensure what they have said is remembered and it's fulfilled. And we protect their person. Honor is an offense vaccination. Now you can take that list and you can say about your coordinator, your team leader. You can say it about the person sitting on your right, sitting on your left. You can say it about your pastor. You can say it about the ministry, that the guest ministry that comes in. You can say it about any person in the body of Christ. You can say it about President Trump. Do you see what I'm saying? That you'll give them latitude when they do wrong. You'll boast about what they've done, not what you've done. That you'll be proud of them and not yourself. You'll seek their good, not your own. You don't allow them to anger you. You won't keep a record of the things they've done wrong, not remembering it. You'll protect them in every way you know how. You'll protect their stuff by treating it better than your own. You'll protect their image or their reputation and never let them be presented in a negative light. You'll protect their words and work to ensure that what they have said is remembered and fulfilled. And then you'll also protect their physical person. Did you know that God does all of these things to you and for you because he honors you? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for these truths that we have seen today. Father, we just ask for a greater revelation. We ask for greater wisdom and understanding in these things, that we would walk more worthy and more well-pleasing of you. Father God, we desire to understand this subject because we understand it is so intrinsic to who you are. And we want to please you, Father. Father, I thank you that the word today, it's planted as a seed in good ground, and that it will grow mightily, and it will prevail in all of our lives, producing a rich harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just checking. Just checking. Sometimes in the process of a service, the people that needed help, that you knew in your spirit, you can see in the service they receive it, and that's their help. And so they don't. There's not necessarily a need for a greater demonstration because they receive their help during the ministry. But that doesn't mean we want to make sure that we just see what God wants to do. See what God wants to do. And then there's some things that, there's some things I'm very conscious of. I have a license or permission to do. But then there's a realm of things that just are for Dad and Mom to do, Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie to do. And because I help them, I see these things, but I also just really remember really early in my development as a minister, I heard someone say this: just because you see something doesn't give you a right or the authority to address it. And so I try to be cognizant of, God, do you want me to address this? Or is this something that someone else needs to address? And, that's why I'm saying, I'm just checking. Is God done? Is the Holy Spirit done? And I think we are. I think we are. Well, what about some spectacular thing? Well, I would rather have the supernatural than the spectacular. And I know that this is a word that if we will meditate on it, spectacular things will happen. It may not be right now, but it is a seed that yields a rich harvest in time. And that, I'm telling you, we're in this for the long haul. We're not in this, this is not a gunpowder church where we light the pan and flash, it's over. No, this is a marathon. We're in it for the long haul. We're going to get all that God has. Well, I need healing. Okay, good. Come to the Divine Healing and Health class. Pastor Debbie's going to be here next week. Come to that class. Don't just receive healing in an instant. Learn how to keep it. Learn how to hold on to it. So, Father God, we just thank you for this service, and we call it dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.